Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you would. And only on September 14th.
That's right. I want to be Michael Sterling today, man.
You do?
He's got that radio voice.
Oh, no, you don't.
Come on. I would have had my birthday yesterday.
You would have. Now, that would have been the only difference,
brother.
Yes.
Did you get any cake?
I did.
Did you bring me any cake?
I did not, because I ate it all.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's just
small. I don't want to blame my fatness on that. So.
No. I had a very, very nice day with friends, and went to a wonderful restaurant called Wood Ranch.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
Yes. I think there's a small chain, right?
Yeah.
And there's a new one that just opened in Burbank.
How was the
fantastic
food?
Fantastic. Yeah. It's barbecue food and pretty
good home
hearty.
Cooking.
But more than that, it's kind of gourmet home cooking. Mm-hmm. And so they're very, very nice. And then we all went and did a massage thing. You know the Chinese foot massage?
Yeah.
You know about that?
Yeah.
It's so great. Right?
Wow.
It's inexpensive. A whole body massage for an hour.
Did you talk to them about sponsoring the show? Some of that right now.
I don't think they even need to get any more business. It's hard to get an appointment at a lot of these places. The one I got to, it's hard.
It sounds great, though. What a nice, relaxing birthday.
It was indeed. And then out to dinner later in the evening. And, yeah, it was very, very nice.
Well, good, buddy. Hey, happy
birthday.
And
I must say about Facebook, as most anybody would agree, that the hundreds of well-wishing things that you get on your birthday seems to make up for the rest of the year when nobody's
right. Only the active one day a year. That's exactly right.
No, everybody was very generous with their comments. And then, well, we'll talk.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday, man. That is fantastic. And here we are on a beautiful August day in
August
Los Angeles.
Day?
That's right.
It is.
September day.
It is.
Oh, my goodness.
Boy, oh, boy. 1 week and
if it's not my birthday month, man, I don't care. It is. It's September already, but thank goodness we have a little break from this heat wave, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, thank goodness.
I'm all over that.
It was brutal.
And, you know, we'll keep it turned up here in the studio today with a couple of very talented gentlemen whose careers are absolutely on fire.
And with all that talent, these two guys have me thinking about changing my last name, Michael. No kidding, man. I'm
past the Saltzman.
There you go. What do you say we bring them on in? Let's welcome them both.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
And there they go.
Hey, guys.
There they are.
Welcome. Mark Saltzman and Bennett Saltzman. Now, am I correct that there is no relation between you two?
So far, we haven't uncovered one.
Yeah, we don't know yet. But
we
got
to
so
go
far,
back generations and generations to find it. Do you guys know lots of Saltzman out there?
I mean, I know my family.
Right?
And there's a few other Saltzmans in the neighborhood over from the neighborhood I grew up, and we had no relation. But...
Is it a particularly common name, or what would you say?
I would say not.
I'm
always glad to meet another.
I mean, I've Googled my name, and there's another Bennett Saltzman who does.
Really?
Yeah, he's like a golfer.
Wow.
So that's the extent of Saltzman knowledge.
As long as he
I
doesn't
have.
Get into entertainment, you're okay, right?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we're going to get back to our guest here in just a moment. We want to find out a little bit more about the exciting projects they have going on. But before we do, Michael, we must pay our bills and thank our sponsors.
Absolutely. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are indeed. And if you want to visit our sponsor, Breakdown Services, just go to BreakdownExpress.com. And obviously, we're very grateful to Performing Arts Live as well, because they keep us up to date, and they can keep you up to date if you just stop by their site, PerformingArtsLive.com, and check it out.
That's right. Two great supporters of the arts here in Southern California. Oh, Michael, it's going to be one of those days. I can tell, man. We got all kinds of stuff going on
today.
We do. It was so funny. I was driving down here, and obviously there's a lot of traffic and a lot of things going on, but I was thinking about how lucky we are to live in Southern California.
Really?
Tell me about it. Well, I mean, what's going on in Florida and, of course, Louisiana and Texas? I mean, I got a list today in my email of businesses that have been giving away just hundreds of thousands of dollars in free things to people in Houston to try to recoup. There was a clothier who said, hey, anybody who lost their work clothes and needs interview clothes or work clothes, call us up. We're going to give free clothes to anybody who needs work clothes. I thought that was great. There was a guy who said, hey, I own a mattress warehouse. Come in. We're gonna open up our mattress warehouse. You pick a mattress, you can sleep on it, you can take it home with you. Isn't that amazing? So yeah, really great things coming out of
that.
It's the
American spirit.
That's right. And here we are, warm and dry in Southern California.
Yes, and you know, I have a sister who lived right in Cape Coral, so it was a big deal for me because we were in communication, and then suddenly there was no communication because it wasn't possible. However, what was being predicted at that time with Irma, because it was going to sweep through Cape Coral and Fort Myers and Naples, and for some reason when it got to Cape Coral it was downgraded to a 2 at that point.
Wow.
And took a sidestep. I mean, there was damage, but you know, the big concern was the surge of water, and she lives right on the canal.
Did she stay or did she go?
She stayed, and 7 other neighbors all stayed in their homes together, and they kind of hunkered down at the largest of those homes and braved it, you know. And the surge had it come because her deck is 8 feet below where the water is. Eight feet above where the water is. So that surge would have certainly, you know, they were predicting, 10 to 15
terrifying
feet? So it was just an interesting lesson for me, and when a family member is in jeopardy like that, about what you're going through, and then you suddenly can't reach them.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until yesterday and the day before that we actually had a real talk through of everything that happened, but God did his blessings, and one of them was upon my sister and those people that were with her.
So. Well, I'm thrilled she's okay. And also, I mean, obviously, the goodness that you see coming out of those cities and the work that people are doing.
Yeah.
I saw dolphins and manatees stranded in yards, people staying through the storm to go help them get out of their yard, you know, and put them back where they need to be, which I thought was amazing, too.
That is. I would have liked to have seen those images.
Yeah. Now, I know that you had a birthday week. Did you get to see any theater this week?
I did not.
You didn't see anything?
No.
So you left me to go out and brave the wilds of LA theater. I saw a couple of good shows this week. It was amazing how much is going on out there, and I had a good time. But it was interesting, too, to see how full the theaters were. I was shocked because there's obviously a lot going on in LA right now. Movies, Dodger games, all kinds of stuff. And the theaters were still full. Noise Within had a great crowd for Tale of Two Cities, which was a really solid production. Of course, adapting a classical work like that. The novel is endless. And you've got to cut stuff, and I thought it was a very judicious cutting. But more than that, the core four people just did a fantastic job on their work. And Noise Within, I think the LA Times called it an oasis for classic theater here in Los Angeles. And it really is. There's no place else that you can go in Los Angeles and consistently see new and exciting classic takes on theater. Hmm. So Noise Within, obviously, you want to zip on their website and go check it out. It's a production that's really worth a quick look, and certainly a chance to take some people out and go see a work that's not produced very much.
And how do people get there?
Well, obviously, they can go to Noise Within's website. You can just Google Noise Within, or you can type in Tale of Two Cities, Noise Within, and you'll find it real quickly.
So. Fantastic.
How about you, Michael? How was your? How's the rest of your birthday celebration? Did you do anything else fun? Get any good presents?
Good presence? Yeah. No, I think just the presence of friendship, I think, were the big thing for me. You know, this was one of those odd birthdays. You know, it's not really an important one in this.
29's not important?
Oh, I wish. No, put a few years onto that. It's still not important. But, it's, you know, the big important one will come next year, I think.
That's great.
I think. I make it. Thanks for asking. No, it was a great great day.
You'd had something else that you were going to mention. We were talking about your Chinese foot massage, and we talked about what else you did. Was there something else you did?
No. Just went out for another very nice dinner last night with friends.
And that was the Wood Ranch?
No, that was earlier in the day.
Ah, what was dinner? Yeah. Where'd you go?
It was a Japanese restaurant.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we kind of did from barbecue to Japanese. Go figure. I don't know.
It sounds like a whole day.
It was a whole
day.
Of
fun. My goodness. Well, shall we bring in the gentleman sitting to my right?
I think it's time.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Our first guest began his career in New York with Jim Henson writing for the Muppets. His Sesame Street sketches and songs, including Caribbean Amphibian, earned him 7 Emmy Awards. But behind Kermit's back, he was writing cabaret shows and musicals that played at the Ballroom, Soho Rep, 13th Street Theater, and the Village Gate, where he co-wrote the long-running review, A My Name is Alice.
For network television, he wrote Mrs. Santa Claus, the holiday musical starring Angela Lansbury with songs by Jerry Herman. For the movies, he wrote The Adventures of Milo and Otis and Three Ninjas, Kick Back, and has written screenplays for Sony, Universal, and Disney.
His TV movie, The Red Sneakers, directed by and starring Gregory Hines, was nominated for a Writers Guild Award. He served as a writer, producer of the Disney Channel show Johnny and the Sprites. His musical play, The Tin Pan Alley Rag, was nominated for 5 Los Angeles Ovation Awards, including Best Musical.
He has enjoyed great success authoring other theatrical works, including Romeo and Bernadette. Mr. Shaw Goes to Hollywood, and his newest play, Clutter. He is a graduate of Cornell University, is a mentor in the National Young Playwrights Festival, and he's here with us today to talk about his new musical, Another Roll of the Dice. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the incomparable Mark Saltzman.
Wow. Welcome, Mark. Welcome.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for that ovation.
I tell you, our fans love you, man. They all showed up today. They were a little scattered at the beginning of the show, but once you got
here, they
came
rolling
in.
They were just
getting off that
bus. That's
right.
Yeah.
Mark, I got to tell you, you and I had a chance to talk a little bit before the show. What a career you've had.
Oh, thank you.
And now you said this musical is based off of Guys and Dolls, correct? It's kind of like a sequel?
I wouldn't say a sequel, maybe a companion piece.
Interesting.
Piece of cheesecake after the meal. we use the same source, Damon Runyon's stories, who's the great New York writer of Gangland.
Of which there were plenty, right?
Many, many. some unpublished, some monologues for radio, mm-hmm. and the estate was gracious enough to let me have everything. And I picked 3 of those, and just like Guys and Dolls had Frank Lesser songs, I went to the Frank Lesser catalog.
So great, Frank
wow,
Lesser.
Yeah, no kidding. Boy. No kidding.
So that process, getting that permission, was it difficult?
With the Runyon people, it wasn't, because they came to me, and they were looking for new ways to use these stories. Mm-hmm. With the Lesser people, I had to present what I had in mind, and we're very lucky that Frank Lesser's widow is still with us, mm-hmm. and she came to a workshop production with one of the Lesser daughters, and I wouldn't say it was difficult. It was kind of enjoyable to have them there, and they liked what they heard.
Wow, that's all it takes. Now, it is at in Wyoming.
It is at the Wyoming Theater Festival.
And why is it there as opposed to Los Angeles, or since you're a native here, a native in Los Angeles?
I'm a native New Yorker.
Native New Yorker.
Transplant native now.
If you've been here more than 6 months, you are a native.
That's right.
I always say when you stop wearing black, you're a native.
Yeah, you've lost your New York shell, no doubt about it. But now you do have roots here, obviously. You've been out here for, I think you said, 27 years, is that correct?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What's your association with Wyoming? I know you had some relationship with the theater festival.
Yeah, it's funny how theater works. My former dog sitter and theater student went on to be a master's in theater and then a doctorate in theater and became a professor at Sheridan College. And one of the things he wanted to do as professor up there was start a theater festival for that whole Rocky Mountain region.
Yeah.
And this is the third time around, the third edition of the Wyoming Theater Festival. It's been a big success up there. Now they're in association with the Roundabout Theater in New York, and that partnership is going to continue. And I was kind of lucky enough to get a slot there to try out Another Roll of the Dice.
Wow. So does that mean that Roundabout would have a presence there as well as at that festival and seeing everything that's being done?
Not only that, but they sent 3 of their playwrights out to kind of put the finishing touches on work and do the first readings there.
Fantastic.
I went to 2 of them. Yeah,
fantastic.
Awfully good.
How is the score?
Well, it's Frank Lesser.
I know it would be great, but I mean, you know, do you see hit songs in that score?
Some are very, very recognizable, like Heart and Soul and Two Sleepy People. And then there are some obscurities. There's one that's never been sung outside of an obscure 40s movie.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Debutante Number One. It's very, it's like a Sondheim song with lots of little pieces of it and different melodies combining. And I could see why it was never a piece of sheet music or a hit for Dean Martin.
Right.
but we managed to find it, and the lesser organization helped. They wound up opening a file cabinet and pulling out the original orchestrations.
Oh my goodness.
When it was recorded at Paramount. And they handed me that, and we reduced it to a piano. And kind of the song will be heard for the first time in, what, 70, 80 years?
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. That's great. Something to look forward to, right?
The show we're talking about here is Another Roll of the Dice. And, of course, this is playing, we said, in Wyoming. It's at the Mars Theater at 42 North Main Street, Sheridan, Wyoming. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And now, people want to get tickets for this. Obviously, we have listeners all over, but certainly people in Wyoming. How can they get tickets for this?
Oh, they can call the Y.O. Theater box office.
Okay. And it looks like there's also a web address here, which is wyotf.com. That's Wyoming Theater Festival, wyotf.com. And if people zip on there, they can find tickets for the show.
Yes.
What an amazing thing. Now, this is being workshopped there, or is it fully up and running?
Full production.
Wow.
In costumes, needless to say, lots of fedoras.
Right.
Some had to be ordered from outside Sheridan. They're a little out of style right now. But
not too many of those in Wyoming right now, I would assume.
No, more cowboy hats than fedoras.
That's funny. So the question is, when's it coming to L.A.? When do we get to see it here?
Well, we're talking to a couple of L.A. theaters. I've had an association with Pasadena Playhouse. That's where my first musical was produced.
And which was?
Which was Tin Pan Alley Rag, Andrew said.
Very nice.
That was in the mid-90s. But I feel like I got my start here. I think I was just too scared and inhibited to write theater in New York. Terrible things could happen. And theater in Southern California is far more welcoming and far more a warm environment. The knives are not out here. People actually want you to do well and succeed in theater.
Well, and there's certainly never been a better time for theater. I mean, our theater, I would say 15 years ago, was just starting to kind of sizzle and make some sort of a name for itself.
That's right.
Locally. And it's changed now. I mean, some of the great small houses have been producing terrific product. And, of course, our bigger theaters always put out, the best of what's there to be had.
And plays going to New York.
Absolutely.
That start here. That start in Southern California.
Yes, that's right.
So I think it's a great place to work as a playwright.
So now, you, in your bio here, of course, it says, as a preteen, you saw the film Guys and Dolls.
Yeah.
On TV, and you had the cast album, and you figured that this was all based on the Damon Runyon characters, and your parents are brought into this a little bit. Bronx-raised parents.
My Bronx parents,
which
yes.
is somewhat thematic of today and our other guests.
Oh, yes.
So there's a little bit of truth here in the play, through the eyes of your folks?
It was kind of what I'd read as a teenager was very squeaky clean, Johnny Tremaine, inspiring stories.
Yes.
And with Runyon was the first time I kind of glimpsed the people that my parents might have known in the Bronx. the retired boxers and the slightly shady.
And the curtain was lifted.
It was real. I mean, this was real and somewhat respectable. They're in a book.
Yeah.
And what about the bootlegging McKinney sisters?
That wasn't their real name, they were the sisters who introduced my parents to each other.
Oh, really?
So I felt like I had to nod to them.
How fun.
I also got a train conductor into Another Roll of the Dice, and that was my uncle and my grandfather's career. For my grandfather, it was a trolley.
They were trained. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, cool. That was the family business on that
side. That's fantastic.
So I get to say, well, my uncle was a conductor. That's why I'm in musical theater.
Well, I once had a conversation with the great John Raitt while he was, I think it was at his 85th birthday party, something like that, and he was telling me about, you know, that time in musical theater when these shows were first released, and he said he was offered the role of Sky Masterson at one point and turned it down because he didn't do shows that had gambling and drinking in them.
Oh.
Isn't that fascinating? And that was still a thing. Performers didn't want to be labeled as someone who did, you know, the smut of Guys right. and Dolls, which is so funny when you look at how much things have changed so quickly. So I thought that was an interesting portrayal. So,
that is, yeah. That it was an edgy show.
Yeah, a little bit at least.
There's still something about calling the chorus the Hot Box Girls.
Right.
Still lifts an eyebrow.
That's interesting. That's so true.
Now, you know what? I, in my innocence, have never thought anything about that.
That's funny. That's what they called me and all my buddies during high school.
Oh, really?
So. Oh, very sad, very sad high school careers. Yeah, it's interesting. Guys and Dolls, I have a wonderful relationship with Guys and Dolls in that it was one of the first shows, one of the first professional shows I ever did out here with a wonderful group of people and some great
Broadway. Who did
Broadway
you play?
People. Well, I understudied Sky Masterson, but I played Benny South Street. In fact, we were just talking today. I could hardly remember the name of the characters anymore. But, of course, that was a show to Lee Lively, Bob Torty, Delius Kennedy, Tony Oliver, great, great people in that show, you know. So it was a little intimidating to be in that cast. But, boy, what a friendly musical that is. It's just it's this group of characters who you love to see. And more than anything, the music just sticks with you forever
it's
and
terrific.
Ever.
So,
yeah,
when I was
fun.
Super, super young, very young, I saw a production with my parents of it in the Round.
Wow.
And it was... I will never forget this because she was the star, Betty Grable.
Well, oh, my.
Betty Grable, right?
She
and, I mean, even I at that age knew that she was, like, bigger than life. You probably don't remember her, Bennett. But
I know the name.
Do you know the name?
Yeah.
She played Adelaide, or who did she play?
She played
Adelaide.
Yes,
sure.
Of course.
Goodness, how cute.
And then there was a television star who was, you know, a tremendous star on television who played Sky.
Wow.
And I cannot remember his name, but it was as cool seeing him as it was seeing her. The funny thing that happened in that production is that in Theater in the Round, you know, it's very different to produce, and the sets are lean, and microphones are the body mics were put on everybody, and the sound people because it was kind of a transition, a quick transition, it became so popular in California that mics got left on when they should not have been on.
Wow.
And the performance that we were at, Miss Grable had exited the stage and gone back to her dressing room, and we heard everything that was going on
my.
In that dressing room. Yeah, it was.
She
like,
wasn't bashing any co-stars or anything.
No. Oh, no. No, it should
have. No slurping or anything.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
She was using the facilities.
Oh, my.
And, you know, talking to her dresser at the same time. So it was, like, weird because the sound is, like, coming all over the theater. And then, of course, you know, when they realized it, that boom, went out.
We should have had her on the show. It's one of those embarrassing moments. That's the perfect one, you know.
Well, if we could have her on the show, we would have a huge rating.
We'd have to have your medium buddy on the show, too. My goodness. You know, it's interesting when you talk about shows like this, Guys and Doll, that have been done so many times. It's interesting to see some of these other stories produced now. Has that been done before, or is this the only other example of a musical using those stories?
I think people were a little intimidated by Guys and Dolls.
I could see that. Yeah.
I mean, what composer is going to take that on?
Right. Obviously a fool.
Yeah.
Someone who doesn't know what he's getting into.
I couldn't find anyone foolish enough.
So you dug in.
I dug into the Frank Lesser catalog. Yeah.
Cool. And it's interesting, too, because obviously I think Frank Lesser has such a wonderful following. So, and, of course, I grew up on musicals like Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We were talking about Pal Joey earlier as well. But it's interesting when you think about this because the stories are so timely even now. They talk about the way things were and how things change, and also a little bit the political climate and how people looked at vice and that sort of thing as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, there's one story I found called Baseball Hattie that I used.
Wow.
That is... it's such aggressive feminism, it borders on homicide.
Really?
I was kind of startled to find this story written in the 30s about this woman, and she's a baseball fan, which is already kind of feminist.
Yeah, baseball was rough at that time, too.
Yeah, and she marries a baseball player, and good things don't happen.
Oh, my.
She takes charge of it.
Wow.
In a way that was truly surprising, and I knew I had to get that. I knew... That could not have been adapted in the 40s or 50s. I don't know when you could first do a story like that, but I was really glad to pounce on that.
And what's the name of the story again?
Baseball Hattie.
So maybe people can look that up and read it if you can find it somewhere, too, before you go see the show.
A local L.A. actress was playing her, Rachel Hershey, and she did a wonderful job of getting the period sense of a baseball fan in the 30s for the New York Giants.
Wow.
Rivals of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Of course.
She did a great job.
Well, that's great, too. And obviously, you know, that's right after women's suffrage. So you obviously had another hot button issue that she was tackling there as well.
Sure.
So, wow.
What is the next step for this lovely show that you've done?
I'm hoping a production in Southern California. That's what we're angling for. And like I said, we're talking to some people here. It'd be great to get one of the larger theaters.
Go over there and talk to Michael Ritchie if you can.
That's right.
You know that if you're listening, Michael, we'd love to be in the Music Center. But that would be a dream, to be in the Music Center. But I love doing theater in Southern California more than anywhere else.
Well, they also have that Kirk Douglas Theater, which is a sweet space
to introduce
new work there as well.
Yeah.
I have one last question for you, and then we're going to move on. But I know that you wrote many cabaret acts.
I did. That was how I started, in fact.
And for people who were famous on Broadway, or young people who were just trying to get their footing.
On the way up then, and it was the era right after Bette Midler broke, and she broke singing in bathhouses.
Yes,
and I came to New York as. Well, I had an Ivy League degree in English and the ability to play piano. What was I going to get work at? And it was just the right time when that had opened it up, that kind of, why audition for Broadway? Why don't you just do your act and find some little corner, some bar, a bathhouse, anywhere, put up some lights, get a mic, and do your act. All you need is a piano player.
Wow.
Hello, here I am.
And that was Barry Manilow.
Yeah, or the low-rent version. I once got to tell Bette Midler that I said, if you hadn't opened that up, I don't know how I would have made a living. She said, oh, I was a cottage industry.
Very funny.
And now look where she is.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
I ask only because I have a vested interest in that world. I have a separate club here in Los Angeles called Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal.
At the Federal, sure, yes. In NoHo.
In NoHo. Yeah,
Mark's been there a time or two, as a matter of fact.
Yes, you have?
Yes, I have.
Oh, fantastic.
Have.
Well, next time you come in, let me know, and we'll treat you differently.
Okay.
treat you better.
Next time he comes in, let's get him up on the stage. I'm ready to see this show.
I'll go back to my cabaret days. I'll write that special material.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is called Another Roll of the Dice. It's playing in Wyoming right now, but obviously this show's got some really special energy around it. So it's playing at the Mars Theater, 42 North Main in Sheridan, Wyoming. And the best way to get tickets, I believe, is to visit WYOTF, that's Wyoming Theater Festival.com, and you can find out all the information there, and certainly keep an eye out for what this show does next.
Do you think that because of the time, I think we should probably jump into our next guest?
Right? And I think people are anxious to hear a little more from another Saltzman here. I think there's no doubt about it. Let's go ahead and do it, Michael. Absolutely.
Do you want to start that, or you want me to do it?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. Go ahead. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a recent graduate of USC's School of Dramatic Arts, having received further training in London at the British American Drama Academy. While at USC, he was also a member of the improv troupe, the Merry Men, and the sketch group troupe, that's hard to say, the Suspenders.
His SDA credits include Romeo and Juliet, The Country Wife, The
Columbinus.
Columbinus, really? Yeah, wow, yeah. Oh my goodness. And also you can see him in the upcoming film Loners, as well as in the role of Jay with the group rep production of Lost in Yonkers that is on stage now through October 22nd. Please welcome Bennett Saltzman. As Michael and I shuffle through our pages to get to your bio, man, this was so much fun to get to learn a little bit about you. Now, obviously, you are a recent graduate, right?
Yeah, I just graduated.
As in, literally, you stepped off USC and walked into this professional role of Lost in Yonkers.
Quite literally walked into it, too.
And you're playing Jay, of course.
Yes.
A great role there.
But, what's interesting is that the age of the actual character is below your own personal age, but yet you fill the bill because you look like that.
Yes, to those at home, I look very young.
Yes. And I hear you're fantastic in the show. Haven't seen it, but I'm coming.
Awesome.
And the critics, I think, have been loving it, and the audiences have been loving it, and pretty much anything that the group rep theater. Are you familiar with it, Mark?
I am, yeah.
They do some very good work there, and it's one of the loveliest theaters to go of our smaller houses because it's clean, it's taken very good care of, and it's very inviting, it's comfortable. It's a great way to see a night of theater for sure. So tell us about your experience with this so far.
Well, it's been great. I didn't expect to all happen as soon as it did, so I've sort of just been along for the ride this whole time, and it was a perfect play for me and a perfect role. And then also, just while I was at college, people would always tell me, oh, you need to do Neil Simon shows, you need to do Neil Simon shows. So right off the bat, once I saw it, I said, I need to be a part of that. And so being a part of it, just
so you just saw the listing, the casting call?
Yes, a casting call on a casting service.
The way he told the story, he was sitting at graduation looking on Backstage West and saw the casting call and graduated, then walked into the audition. So, which I love. I think that's fantastic. So now, obviously, Lost in Yonkers is a Neil Simon piece, and a great and well-known Neil Simon piece. Had you read any other Neil Simon as you were growing up?
When I was in high school, I was in a production of Rumors, so that was pretty fun. And then Brighton Beach Memoirs.
Very cool.
Biloxi Blues.
Very cool.
Been going through his list because it just all resonates.
That's right. That's right.
And so
he wrote so many great shows.
Yeah.
So many great shows.
Such a great sense of comedy. Yeah. And also, I think, such a great of timeliness in capturing a time and space that is quickly fading away. Lost in Yonkers is such a good example of that. Have you enjoyed playing Jay? Has there been anything in your own personal history you can draw from?
I've loved playing Jay. I come from a crazy Jewish family. So it's been great to draw from that. Hasn't been that hard to draw from it.
And no offense, Mom and Dad.
That's right.
Yeah. No, that's the first thing they said. They go, oh, this is great. It's us. And I go, yeah, it's us. And, it's been a dream. And then the writing's so smart, and it's every character is so three-dimensional, so full. And, going into it, one of the great things to realize with Jay was I started playing it, classic bada-boop-boop, like Brighton Beach Memoirs doing that. And then as we kept doing it, there's a lot of angst and sadness inside of Jay. His mom died 3 months before the play starts, and that's what he's dealing with, is becoming his own man. And so it's been great.
Yeah, and of course people say comedy's only one step away from drama, so if you don't have that heart in it, then the comedy's probably not going to read true anyway, so that's good.
Now, you have a younger brother in it, though, don't
you? Yes, I have a younger brother. The younger brother is Artie. He's a 13-year-old kid, and he's played by both Brent and Ethan, whose last names escape me currently. They're splitting the role.
And so how is that when you are working with two different actors, and when one goes in and out of the role like that? Do you relate to them any differently, or do you just do your job?
They both play it. They have subtle differences in how they play Artie. And so the main thing Larry, the director, has been pushing. Larry Eisenberg, the director, has been telling us through this whole process is be in the moment. Just be in the moment. So react to how everyone is doing what they're doing currently at that time. And so it's so great to do with these two Arties because it just comes. One is much more on the comedy side than the other, really understands more of the drama that Artie's going through, and so getting to play off both of them in a different way, it's great. Mm-hmm. Makes it a new experience every time.
So Larry, as a director, is one of those directors that also lets you, though, find your way in. He gives the right advice, which sounds, based on what you just said, I've seen his work before, and I'm always impressed.
Does a very good job,
very good job. So this being your first, what would you call this, professional play?
Professional play, yes.
And do you sing?
Occasionally, yeah.
Always say yes.
Yes.
Just lie if you have
yes.
to. Always say yes.
Sing.
I've learned that the hard way.
I sing.
Is that so? Obviously, you have a Shakespeare background as well.
Yes.
Is musical theater something that you want to do eventually?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, have you heard of LA's Next Great Stage Star?
I believe you were talking about.
So
it
this is something I saw that face and I thought Daniel Belushi immediately. That kind of, it's like these young, good-looking kids come into this show ready to take on the world. and LA's Next Great Stage Star is a great example of a group of these kids who get together for how many weeks now, Michael?
Six weeks.
And they, over the course, they, I'd say audition, but it's not really audition. They compete for different agents and managers who come in to judge them. And at the end, there is a winner. But really, it seems like the entire show is almost like a serial show. You get to see each performer's depth, what they can offer. LA's Next Great Stage Star, of course, it's great for musical performers up to the age of what, Michael?
18 to 32.
So I missed it by a little.
And then, well, yes.
A day.
If that's the way you want to put it, yeah. Okay. But no, it's a great vehicle to be introduced to those who make musical theater in Southern California, mm-hmm. who are those people. They're all there. They're all my colleagues. They are so supportive every year. There's 24 judges that come through. And you are put through, it's kind of boot camp is what it is, you know, but it's kind of like American Idol, but pointed toward Broadway.
Wow.
And it's a pretty intense 6 weeks, but a very rewarding one at the end, certainly. And we have now 21 of our contestants throughout the past 11 years have now already made their Broadway debut.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good track record, which I'm proud of.
Great.
Yeah. So maybe you want to consider coming to audition for it.
Definitely currently considering to come audition for it.
Although I'm waiting for this kid to pay his dues. He walks out of college and into this job, man. He needs to work at some of these grungy little theaters around L.A. like I had to for all those years.
I'm aware.
This is a great job. And obviously they won't all be as nice as this one. But hopefully, you know, I mean, an introduction like this, and obviously Neil Simon's work gives you such a basis in your credits to where you can now walk into so many other auditions and, you know, really hold your head up high. I think for any of our listeners who have just graduated from college, that first job is so difficult to get. So congrats on that. And I think it's a great chance to walk in with a really good group. The group rep is a great group.
Bennett, tell the audience listening who may not be familiar with Neil Simon, or if they are even this show, give us the synopsis of what's going on.
All right. So Lost in Yonkers by Neil Simon.
This is when you're supposed to say, I'm sorry, I haven't read it.
Jay and Artie are two 15 and 13-year-old boys from the Bronx whose mother, in the 1940s, World War II has just started, whose mother recently died. Their father takes them to their grandma's apartment in order to live with them for the next 10 months because the father is in serious debt and has to go leave the family and make money. Wow, the boys are not happy about this in any sense of the word. So over the course of this year and their life at grandma's, they meet their crazy Aunt Bella, their dangerous Uncle Louie, and then there's also their Aunt Gert, who has a slight condition with the way she talks, and they get to know them and get to learn their place in the family and learn to love their family and over the course become men.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It's a good play.
Well summarized, too.
Yes, very well done.
So, of course, the play we're talking about is called Lost in Yonkers, and it's a production by the group rep at the Lonnie Chapman Theater. Lonnie Chapman Theater is located at 10900 Burbank Boulevard in North Hollywood. That's 91601. This show, of course, runs September 8th, so it just opened, all the way through October 22nd.
And we should note that it is a Tony and Pulitzer Prize-winning masterpiece.
Of course.
Lost in Yonkers, directed by Larry Eisenberg, as we just said a moment ago. And for tickets, ladies and gentlemen, you can, for performances, by the way, before I say the ticket information, Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., talkbacks, which are always kind of cool, on September 17th, that would be this coming weekend, and October 8th after the Sunday matinee.
Now, am I correct? To me. You can just show up and talk back during the show. That's the way that works, right? Just start yelling questions out
at them. Yeah, it's a very Rocky Horror setting.
Nice.
Are we telling you something you didn't know?
Yeah.
Oh, talkbacks.
Cool. There you go. Time to renegotiate that contract. Now, I got to stay for talkbacks.
Really?
Tickets are $25, which is a great deal for this classic play produced so well by the group rep. Students and seniors can get in as low as $20, and groups of 10 or more are $15.
You can buy tickets at thegrouprep.com or at info@thegrouprep.com. And just one more important telephone number to take note of for further information and to reserve tickets. You can leave a message on the reservations line at 818-763-5990.
That's right.
Again, Lonnie Chapman Theater, located at 10900 Burbank Boulevard in North Hollywood. Lovely experience at the theater, this particular theater, as I said earlier in the show. I love going there. And you get there early. Parking is a little challenging because it is a very busy area. And there's a small lot that the theater has, but it is a small lot.
So. The upside of that is there's lots to do after the show, plenty of great food places around. So obviously a great night out that you can go
my
visit.
House. Just come to my house.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, Michael's going to give out his address. There should be leftover birthday cake immediately. We're all going to meet there. Yeah. Boys, it's time.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Uh-oh. Let's baptize these two, man. I'm telling you. This is a bit we do where we ask performers to tell us a little bit about something that may have happened to them that maybe was embarrassing or unusual that reminded them that in live theater anything can happen. Do either of you have a story that comes to mind?
Okay. Well, I have a few.
Uh-oh.
I was sitting on it. The Betty Grable microphone still on while she was doing what she had to do. The story that happened to me when I was in high school.
Oh, it did.
I was in a production of Pippin, and I was running back and forth drinking water all the time. Because I have to sing all the time. So I had one moment where I could run off and go.
And I did,
and everyone heard it. I didn't know until I came out, and everyone's looking at me.
Thanks to the sound man.
Yeah. Right. I was proud.
That's right.
But a really embarrassing thing, my junior year of high school, going into my senior year of high school, I worked at the Renaissance Fair in Wisconsin.
Fantastic.
And so I was a performer but also a cook there. And I really signed up because I kind of wanted to just have a cool, freaky job. So I was a performer there. And my name was Thomas Cobb because you needed to pick a British name.
Right.
And so I Googled most common British first and last name, and that's how I picked my name.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cobb is the most common last
name. Well, back in the day.
That's interesting.
Back in the
Very
day.
Interesting. Well, I would have thought that.
Yeah. And so... You know, when you're not cooking, as I was part of the Cook's Guild, when you're not cooking, you have to go entertain the patrons by just being Renaissancean people, Elizabethan people. And so my big thing, we had a giant pan, and I would walk around and whack the pan with a spoon, and I'd invite people to bang me my pan. And so, you know, great puns abound. But it rained one day. And so it's muddy, it's raining everywhere, and there's nothing really to do. And so my boss tells me, go entertain the patrons. And so I just start playing in the rain, playing in the mud, and a drunk man walks up to me and steals my pan. And
he took that poor boy's pan.
Yeah. It's a big pan.
Oh.
All right. So it was important to me. And he just takes off with it. And I, a 16-year-old boy in a doublet and tights and this funny little hat, am just chasing in the mud this grown man all around the park, just screaming at him. And there's a special word you're supposed to say where there's a security problem. Completely forgot it.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm just running after him. And we end up slipping, and we're like rolling in the mud. And everybody's looking at us.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I get up. And I stand, and like I finally got it, and I like realize he's drunk, and I point at him, and I go, "Yeah,
yeah,
that was my big comeback."
Oh, goodness, yeah. Oh, poor guy. But that's terrible. And those costumes are expensive too. Rolling around in the mud.
Mike,
I have costumer friends right now who are probably listening and turning over, screaming and hiding their eyes with thought of it. Because I mean, people put their entire year's work into those Renaissance Fair costumes.
Mark, what about you, sir?
Well, I'm not a performer. I don't know what I'm saying.
And you're also perfect, I'm sure.
It's okay.
Thin skin, but I feel like I was performing today on your show, and when I just a little bit earlier said Hotbox Girls, and your eyebrows leapt up, and that was embarrassing.
I like it because it changed our rating on iTunes, so now we're a much more adult show. So.
Thanks to Frank Lesser.
That's the first time we've ever had somebody's most embarrassing moment be on State of the Art. So,
am I still red?
It just looks like a California tan.
Oh, okay. That's good.
There must have been something in your work. It doesn't need to be as a performer, but in what you do, you must have had some experiences, right?
Well, the open mic thing I've observed.
And
there was a show of mine where the performers didn't get off stage, And, you know, everybody has their body mics, and they were doing sound checks. And these two performers, who we were suspecting were being amorous with each other on stage, they got to the scene where the script called for them to be kissing, and the sound man didn't, I mean, generally stage kissing, as you know, is, do a stage kiss. How long does that take?
Wow.
Pretty much that's it.
And well, our microphone will never be the same.
With the mic open, it went far beyond that to a lot of kind of slurping, sucking sounds at the whole theater. So I was embarrassed for writing it. The performers were completely chagrined for playing the scene with a little too much method.
My goodness. Oh, well, what experience that must be. That reminds me of it. I just flashed back to this. I did Oliver when I was very, very young, and I remember a guy coming on without a shoe, and it turned out that he and his girl, they were both performers on the show, had been up in the balcony kind of necking a little bit there, and he lost a shoe. He had to come on without a shoe. And everybody, of course, was like a walk of shame. That's very funny.
I'm wondering what particular act of necking requires a shoe.
Well, you know, I guess that's a question, but I was like 8 or 9 at the time, so you know, anything at that point probably went way over my head anyway.
Slightly confusing.
But it's funny, I just flashed back that. I remember what everybody was saying. I wonder how many shows that's happened on. We ought to do a survey sometime, put it up on our Facebook page.
And now you're making me think of one that comes to mind that I was involved. It didn't happen. The embarrassing part didn't happen.
I believe that, guys. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
It happened to a friend of it.
Truly, truly. It was a very, out here at the Morgan Wixon Theater, which is in Santa Monica.
Yeah, yeah.
At the time, it was a pretty reputable house. And it was a very heavy courtroom drama, and it all took place in the courtroom just on different days. And I went to see it, and I was friends with the whole cast, and my buddy said, "Hey, Michael, our stage manager got sick, and he's coming back, but he had to leave, and we've got a huge queue coming up, and it's going into another day. So can you just see this lever here? Can you just bring this down into a blackout, and when you get a signal from us on stage, and then bring it back up when you see the signal, because we're all changing clothes on stage."
And union rep people everywhere go crazy.
I said, "Sure." Yeah, I got that.
Oh, no.
And boom, you know, we get to this moment, and it's very dark where I am, and the lights were kind of coming down because this was coming up, and I put it to dark completely, and then I thought I saw the signal come back up to bring him back up. And I brought him back up, and everybody was facing, their butts were facing the audience.
How have you never told this story before? Yeah, yeah. This is the greatest story of all time.
Backsides were facing the audience. Men and women in their underwear and putting clothes on still, and every one of them was weird, almost like almost like choreographed.
Like it should have been.
Turned around one by one and looked at the audience and turned back.
And that show ran for an extra 40 weeks.
It did.
People showing up hoping Michael was running tech again.
So. The director said, "Keep it."
Yeah, right. I'm putting that in my next
mortified
script, man.
I was mortified.
Yeah. Well, right?
You know, if you think you see something, you don't want to, you know, be late in the queue, right?
Of course.
You go with
of
it, man.
Of course. Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's terrible to ask somebody to do that without any. That's why we have rehearsals in theater, you know, so that doesn't
And I
happen.
Wasn't a technical guy. I was an actor, so.
You still know. Friends with this guy?
I haven't seen him for many years.
Walk over occasionally, just flip on and off his bathroom light, see if he can expose him. Oh, here's dare you put me through that, man.
Anyhow,
unbelievable.
Boy, thank you so much for joining us today. We had a fantastic time with you.
And the Saltzman crew is in good shape.
Crew.
That's right. Now, we need to say again real quick, another Roll of the Dice is playing in Wyoming at the Mars Theater, 42 North Main Street, Sheridan, Wyoming. And again, the best place to do that, to find tickets, but also just to find out a little more about the show is WYOTF.com, Wyoming Theater Festival. Obviously, if you just Google that, it'll come up too. So.
And of course, Lost in Yonkers at the Group Rep, which is at the lovely theater, the Lonnie Chapman Theater in North Hollywood, and that is on stage now through October 22nd, Fridays and Saturdays, 8 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m. Tickets are very, very affordable, one of the beautiful parts of theater here in Los Angeles. $25, you can barely get a burger and a Coke for that.
That's right. That's totally
at a drive-thru.
Absolutely.
Almost.
exaggerating a little bit, but go to thegrouprep.com for information and or call 818-763-5990. Again, the Lonnie Chapman Theater for a wonderful evening of Neil Simon and Lost in Yonkers, starring our guest, Mr. Bennett.
We'd also like to remind you to go check out A Tale of Two Cities at Noise Within. Obviously, you can Google Noise Within or just visit their website, check out tickets. This is a really strong production that deserves a good look, and I think everything in Noise Within does has such credibility. They're a really great house here in Los Angeles. Be sure to check out their season tickets.
All right.
Guys, thank you so much.
What
a pleasure to have you both here. Standing up for the Saltzman name. We appreciate that all over the country.
And thank you, Andrew.
I want to say again, happy birthday, brother.
Thank
it's great
you.
To see you, and obviously what a fun and exciting week to have a birthday week rolling on. Where do I see you next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.